Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this church. Lord, I don't take for granted that, I guess by the grace of God, this is what I've always known. This is what I've always grown up with. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for that privilege. Lord, I pray that I would never stray. I would never lead my family astray from the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Help us as we look at this passage in Ezekiel once again. And as we talk about the subject of intercessors and intercessory prayer, and Lord, I pray that you just help us as we all have people that we need to be the intercessors for. And God, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Pray that you'd help pastors as he preaches, help the junior churches that'll be going on. And I pray that you just help souls to be saved. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look primarily at verse number 30 is where we're going to basically take our lesson this morning. And I am going to talk about the subject of intercessors. And I'm going to tell you what an intercessor is. And then we're going to go through the Bible. And we're going to see several illustrations of intercessors and people that have interceded on behalf of another group. And I'm going to tell you what that is, and we're going to explain it and explain the need for it. So Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says, "And I sought," this is God talking, "and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land." Why? "That I should not destroy it, but I found none." Now this is a description of an intercessor. Okay, what is an intercessor, Brother Chad? Well, let's look at the word intercede. All right, the word intercede means to move or pass between. Okay, so to move or pass between, to mediate, to interpose, to make intercession, to act between parties with the intent to reconcile those who differ or contend, to plead in favor of. That's what it means to intercede. Okay, so basically, I think everybody has a general gist of what that means. All right, so you've got two parties that might be opposing, and an intercessor comes between those two parties with the idea that I'm going to try to reconcile party A to party B, okay, and bring those two parties together. That's what an intercessor is. A mediator, all right? They have people today called mediators. Instead of going to trial where, you know, you try to get, you know, a judgment on somebody else, sometimes they'll try to mediate it out of court, okay? And what are they doing? They're trying to reconcile those two groups and, you know, get this group to give a little and this group to give a little to come to an agreement, okay? That's kind of what an intercessor is. And God said in verse number 30, he says, "I sought for a man." Now that's important, okay? Because, and I'm going to look at this later, you know, we understand that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. And Jesus Christ intercedes for us to the Father, okay? And we can go to God ourselves, but, you know, when God looks at me, God doesn't see, all God sees when he just looks at me is my sin, okay? And but God, what God sees because of Jesus and because Jesus is interceding for me, God sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So Jesus Christ is interceding for me before the Father. And we're going to look at that, okay? We'll see that in a moment. But, you know, we have to, there, God said in Ezekiel chapter 22, I'm looking for a man. That's us. That's human. That's mankind, okay? I'm looking for a man that should stand before me that I should not destroy them, okay? So he's standing in the gap before me. So this man is one that God says, all right, I'm looking. And this is the interesting part. You know, it's not like you have to chase God down to try to, you know, intercede. God wants somebody to intercede, all right? He's looking for somebody to intercede. But to our discredit, many times we are not the proper, and I know I'm not, the proper interceder for other people. Now, we're going to look at this. What does it mean? Can you give us an illustration where some people didn't intercede? Okay, yes. And we're going to look at illustrations that some people did intercede. Now, we're going to kind of jump away from Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. But we're going to start here because there, everybody in this room, it doesn't matter who you are, your age, your standing, it doesn't matter. Everybody in this room can be an intercessor. That is a ministry that everybody can be a part of. And everybody needs to be a part of. Okay? Everybody, and we're going to show, I'm going to show you that this morning. But I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is kind of a sad story in 1 Samuel. Because listen, all of us have family, all of us have friends, all of us have people that we know that honestly, if something doesn't change in their life drastically, based on the Bible, the judgment of God is coming. It may have not been there yet. I'm teaching in children's church this morning because Brother Young's gone. And what I'm teaching this morning, and I've really been kind of thinking about it, is we're teaching out of the book of James. And I only use one verse when I teach children's church. You lose kids pretty quick. But I'll tell a story and about a snapping turtle is what I'm telling a story about this morning. But we're going to take the Bible verse where the Bible talks about, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. All right? But you know, the Bible then says, and sin when it is what? Finished. So we don't really know the time between the lust and the end of that finishing. But it always finishes. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin when it is finished, when it's done with you, it bringeth forth death. And a lot of people, they've got the lust thing, and they've satisfied the lust of their flesh, and because of their lust, it has conceived what? Sin. Well, they may be in this period. Now, remember, there's some sins that the period's very short, and it has quick repercussions. Some sins last a lifetime. Okay? But all of our sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Because of all of our sin, we all eventually come to this penalty. Okay? Now it's a physical death. And if you're saved, you don't have to experience the spiritual death. All right? But I'm kind of deviating. But because of that, a lot of the people that we know are living in this period of sin. Okay, the lust has already conceived, it has brought forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. I believe every time somebody sins, something dies. I just believe that. I believe that's a Bible principle. It can be your potential, it can be your opportunity to serve God, but every time we sin, something dies, okay? And what an intercessor does is they come in during that period and say, okay, I know that they've sinned, and I know that there's judgment coming. What an intercessor does is they come in and they say, okay, God, I know, let's say God's over here, and God, I know that, sorry, I'll talk louder. I know that they've sinned, and I know that eventually judgment has to come on their life. So I'm going to stay here and I'm going to say, God, I know that they've sinned and I know that they've done wrong, but can you give them a little more time? Can you just be merciful to them? Okay, that's what an intercessor does. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12, all right, we're gonna read about some boys here. Bible says, now the sons of Eli, now who is Eli? He's the priest in the land of Israel, all right? So he's a spiritual leader in the land of Israel. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, all right? They knew not the Lord, all right? So these were wicked young men that were the sons of Eli. Look at verse number 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before who? The Lord. And that's what our sin is. All right? Sin isn't against other people. Sin is against God. And that's why God judges it. All right? There, it was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And I don't have time to read all of this, but if we go to verse 27, all right, there come to verse 27, and we read a warning that was given to Eli all the way down through verse number 36. Okay, let's look at the last verse number 34, and this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas in one day. They shall die, both of them. All right, so because of the sin, in verse number 12, verse number 17, we see the sin of Hophni and Phinehas. Because of that sin, we've got God on this side, right? And we've got Hophni and Phinehas on this side. And a prophet comes to Eli. Eli is the one that should be standing right here. All right, this is Eli's position. And a prophet comes to Eli and he says, Eli, because of the wickedness of your sons, God is going to judge your sons. All right? That's what is happening right here. Okay? So if we go to chapter number 3, we look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Now, we're going to skip through this story, but this everybody knows this story about how Samuel's asleep and God comes to Samuel in a dream. And, you know, Samuel thinks it's Eli at first until Eli tells him otherwise. Look down at verse number 13. This is God speaking to Samuel. For I have told him, this him is Eli, that I will judge his house, Eli's house, forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Verse 16. And then Eli called, so Samuel, or let's read 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, this is Eli speaking. Now this statement amazes me, all right? Eli said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. Let him do what seemeth good. Now, at first, everybody said, well, that's just the will of God. Okay? Now, I've taught in Sunday school. Hey, I believe that you can change the mind of God. I believe that. I believe that you can change the mind of God. Okay? And this is the mind of God. God's standing over here and saying, all right, Eli or Hophni and Phinehas, because of what you've done, you're going to die. Okay? Because of the sin. All right, that's the mind of God. And a prophet comes to Eli and tells him this. Then God comes to Samuel and Samuel said, and he tells Samuel basically the same thing. So Samuel comes to Eli and he says, Eli, this is what God said. And then Eli said in verse number 18, it is the Lord, it's God, let him do what seemeth him good. So basically Eli's standing there and saying, okay, it's God. That's what God's going to do. So Eli knew when the messenger came, remember he was sitting on a stool or something, and the messenger came and said, Hophni and Phinehas have both been killed. Eli knew that was coming. Okay? But nowhere here, now I don't know, maybe he did. But nowhere here do I see that Eli stood before God and said, God, please, can you show him a little mercy? God, can you give him a little more time? Can I try to work with him a little bit more? Now, maybe Eli knew that, okay, the only way, you know, sometimes it's just the only way that they're going to get turned around, you know, they're not turning around. They're so far gone that God's just going to have to take their life. Maybe Eli knew that. But as a parent, I would want to be the one that says, I mean, it's your child. It's the one that, it's of your own flesh and blood. You just may be like, okay, God, all right, go ahead. Kill him. Or are you going to stand before God and say, God, can you have some mercy on him? God, can you give him a little more time? Okay? Now, that's an illustration that we see. Now, let's go to Genesis. Here's another illustration. Most of you know this one. Genesis chapter 18. Paul, sorry, I should have told you that. Genesis chapter number 18. Now, here again, we're going to have to skip through this story quickly. I'll try to point out some verses for you to look at. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 16. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. And the men arose up from thence. These are two angels that have come to talk to Abraham. And looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him. Now this is interesting, and we'll come back to this. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So he's asking God a question. God, are you going to destroy? There's a few righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you going to destroy everybody together? Peradventure, verse 24, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are in therein? Okay, so what is this? All right, so the same illustration as with Eli. You've got God on this side, and you've got Sodom and Gomorrah on this side. Now, who is in Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham's family members, okay? People he loves, people he wants the best for. Now, was Lot and his family Sodomites? I don't know. Bible says Lot was a righteous man, but was his family? I don't know. But, you know, they lived in that, okay? They lived in that. We live in the United States of America. Now, the debauchery that we have come to, the level of wickedness that we've come to, I think the United States of America, the Bible says Sodom and Gomorrah cried out to God. Now, that's interesting. It doesn't say that, the sin, it said the cry of Sodom. I think the cry of the United States of America is coming in the ears of God. And there is a remnant here, okay? And you say, well, will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? Well, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? Now, I know he got Lot out of there, but there were still people in that city that probably weren't necessarily Sodomites. Does that make sense? Okay? But there's a man here that's standing before God and saying, God, what if there's 50? What if there's 50 righteous people in this city? Are you going to destroy it for 50? And God says, no, I won't destroy it for 50. Okay? Let me see here if I can find the verse I was looking for. I should have wrote that down. It's interesting. There was one verse, and it may not be in this passage, but the Bible talks about the place where Abraham stood before the Lord. Okay, and the Bible says, it talks about where Abraham came and stood before the Lord. Like it was like a, it was like this was the meeting place that Abraham came, and this is where he met God every day. Okay, now listen, you know, God, and I'm going to get to this in just a moment if we have time. I got, this could probably take 2 or 3 weeks, but God wants people, we need to be the intercessors, okay? But you have to be, the thing about being an intercessor, and I'll cover this later, is you have to be in the right standing with the one with whom you're interceding, okay? If things aren't right here as the intercessor, you don't have, you know, if things aren't right between Abraham and God, why would God want to do something for Abraham on behalf of somebody else? Does that make sense? Okay, so Abraham had to, if we look at verse back here at verse number 19, this is God speaking, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. God said, I know about Abraham. I know that he's going to, I know that he has a relationship with me. I know he's going to raise his kids right. And because of that, I'm going to listen to Abraham. Okay? So we go from 50. Abraham said, God, would you spare it for 50? God said, I'll spare it for 50. God, will you spare it for 45? I'll spare it for 45. God, will you spare it for 40? God said, I'll spare it for 40. God, Abraham said, God, will you spare it for 30? God said, I'll spare it for 30. This is like a, you see this negotiation between, now listen, what do you pray? There's people that we all need to be interceders for. Children, relatives, friends, that we know, okay, based on their lifestyle, God's judgment's coming. Okay? Or they're not saved and they're gonna end up in hell. All right? And because we know that, we are held accountable right here as an interceder. What if Abraham said, well, Lot made, you know, that was just the decisions Lot made in his life. He chose to go there and he's just going to have to deal with the consequences. Too many times in our life, I think we get a hard heart about the consequences. Well, they just, you know, what's the saying we make? They made their bed and they got to sleep in it, you know. They chose to do that. And we get this, well, they've decided to do that. Well, where's the heart of the intercessor that says, okay, I understand that they chose that decision, but God, will you spare it for 50? Will you spare it for 45? For 40, for 30, for 20. He got them all the way down to 10. And I don't know. I don't know if Abraham asked for 5. But I think in the back of Abraham's mind, he thought, you know, everybody's heard the theory. You know, he had 10 people. If Lot would have had his family, he would have had 10 people. Okay? And I think in Abraham's mind, it's like, okay, whew, we've got it. At least he'll spare it because we can at least get Lot and his family. And we see that didn't happen. So we see that with the life of Abraham. Abraham is interceding for Lot. And God still had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. All right? But Lot and his family, those that chose, were able to get out. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 11. I'm in Genesis. Sorry. It's like, that's not right. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Look at this. This is amazing. And the Lord repented of the evil he thought to do unto his people. So you've got over 1 million people here, and God's going to bring a judgment on them. Look at verse number 10. This is what God said to Moses. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. God's mad. God said, him and Moses are talking. God and the interceder right here are talking. And God says, Moses, you need to step aside. Get out of my way. I'm going to wipe them out. That's what God said here. Okay? I'm going to consume them. And God and Moses said, I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. God, are you going to destroy these people that you just brought out of the land of Egypt? What are the Egyptians going to say? They're going to say that, God, you just brought them out of the land of Egypt so you can kill all these people in the wilderness. Okay? And God and Moses bring some arguments. Listen, it's okay to bring some reasons to God. Okay? It's all right. But you know, the verse number 14 is amazing. The Bible says, and the Lord repented. What's repent mean? It means to turn. Okay? Repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. We can go to verse number 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and there's not very many places in the Bible that there's a hyphen like that, okay? It's like a dot, dot, dot. Because there's like a moment of thought there. And if not, listen to this. This is the heart of an intercessor. Blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Wow. That's amazing. Moses said, God, please don't. I would rather your judgment come on me than on them. That's the heart of a true intercessor. You know, some people, well, God, I know my kids have done this, but God, I would rather that come on me and please give them another chance. Please give them another chance. Maybe something that happens to me will change. That was a true intercessor. All right? And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. So we see the heart of an intercessor. We'll go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We see another illustration of an intercessor. Luke chapter 13, look at verse number 6. Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. What is this husbandman doing? He's coming to God and saying, God, I know that, God, hang on, before you cut this, bring judgment. I know that they haven't been producing fruit. But God, let me work with it one more year. And then God, be sure your sin will find you out. For the wages of sin is death. You know, you can't, if God says there's a judgment, there's going to be a judgment. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, well, I'm not Catholic, okay? I don't think that I can pray for somebody that's already dead and I can convince God that they can go to heaven, okay? That's not what the Bible talks about, all right? But you know what he said? God, okay, I've got a young man in the youth group. God, he's got a bad attitude. You look at Old Testament principles, and there's going to be judgment coming in his life. But God, can you give me another year? I'm going to work with him. I'm going to help him. Give me another year. Okay? God, I've got a child that's not serving you, and I know that they've gone wayward. But God, can I have another year? Can I have another year? Okay? Now, are we too quick to say, well, all right, here it comes? Or are we willing to stand before God and say, God, give me some more time. I need some more time. Now, you have to have a proper stand. If you don't have a right, if you're not right with God here, you don't have that bargaining power. And I hate to say bargaining power, but I think you know what I mean. You don't have that ability to go to God and say, God, please give him some more time. Okay? It needs to be for us. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit make intercession for us. We don't have time. I'm just going to read these verses to you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know why Jesus Christ can negotiate, if you would, can make intercession the way he can? Is because he's righteous. There is no sin. There is nothing hindering his communication with God. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's what Jesus does for us. All right, let me go through these things real quick. There's a need for intercessors. There's a tremendous need for intercessors today. Who do you stand before God on behalf of? You may be the only chance they have. It could be a child, a bus kid, a friend, an unsaved. You know, when I was growing, and even now, I know that I have people standing before God for me. My parents did. My pastor did. Others in this church have stood before God when I did some knucklehead stuff and I had judgment coming. They stood before God and said, God, I know that Chad screwed up. Will we give him another chance? We give another chance. The requirements of an intercessor. They must be in good standing with one whom they are interceding. This is one of the main reasons I want to live right. I want to be able to go to God at any moment without having to worry about getting everything right between me and God before I go to him. What if it's they're laying on a deathbed, but I've got all this sin and I can't intercede for them. I want my life to be clean at all times. So at any moment, I can go to God and say, God, please have mercy on them. God, give me another chance. Give them another chance. Give me some more time to work with them. If I live my life in such a way that's displeasing to God, who will suffer because of my sin or of my carnality? The work of an intercessor. Number one is prayer. We see in every instance of an intercessor a dialogue. You can't intercede if you're not praying. Okay? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking. Okay, if you're not talking to God, if you don't have this dialogue, you can't intercede for someone. Are we earnestly asking the staying, the keeping away of God's judgment on behalf of someone else? So we got prayer, the work of an intercessor. Work, it is work. We see that oftentimes an intercessor is required to give of himself to help with the removal of sinful things or with sacrifice. Moses was willing to give himself. The husbandman was willing to put work into that plant to get it to where it needed to be. It requires work sometimes. And that's a lot of times why we don't want to do it. Well, they've just made their decisions and I don't want to put any more time into it. And we just let them go. All right? Tenacity. Don't give up. Maybe you've prayed and prayed for someone that is away from God or that needs to be saved. Or maybe it's what I call preventative intercession. God, I don't know what they're doing. Job. Remember how Job got up every morning and prayed for his children? That God would have mercy on them because of things that they might do. Remember how he did that? Job was an intercessor for his kids. Okay? Remember that your intercession may be the only thing that is standing between them and judgment. Don't have a lackadaisical attitude like Eli. Application, there's a need for more intercessors. We need to live our lives clean and without baggage so we can be an effective intercessor. And we must do the work of an intercessor. If you don't do it for the people that you know, and if I don't do it for the people I know, who is? Who's going to be there to do it? All right? And we need to realize the importance of an intercessor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth from Ezekiel. Lord, help us to be the men and the ladies that stand before you in the gap before the land, Lord, that you won't destroy it. Before the young person, before the teenager, so that you won't destroy them. Lord, it's so easy to get a hard heart sometimes or to be tired, to be weary of just keep asking. But Lord, I pray that we would just have the tenacity to just keep interceding for those that we love, for those that mean a lot to us. Lord, thank you for your love. Jesus Christ, thank you for interceding for me and for making that intercession. And Lord, I want to be an interceder for my family, for the young people here, for our church members. God, I pray that you just help us be better for you. In Jesus' name, amen.